Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday, do your daily practice being on the lookout for any subtle messages of self-hate. Use any negative message as a reminder to redirect attention to what is true about you. RL. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Margaret
Hello?
In Menlo Park.
Hey, Margaret.
Well,
how
I'm
you
continuing
doing?
To do. I'm doing great. And I'm so grateful for this show. I've been wanting to do Q practice for a while, so I'm mainly doing that, and I feel so complete after last night getting to share about this. And I just, I'm just so, just to see the bamboozle in not listening to that negative voice, the assignment we had. Is just so helpful on every level, I guess, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's kind of the whole deal, isn't it? Because
it is.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
You know, what we get to see in it is that negative voice is always going on about stuff that isn't happening.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to say, well, yeah, I can. It's subtle, but it's never talking about what's happening. It's always talking about either what happened. So, you know, maybe somebody is doing a task and it's not going the way the voice in the head says it should be going. And so there's the about that. It's still talking about something that isn't happening, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And most of the time, it's talking about stuff that has almost nothing to do with where, in this case, you are in any given moment of your day.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, especially that part about in the that I saw that I was sharing yesterday about waking up and hearing the voice and realizing, no, I do want to get up. I'm going to get up and I'm going to smile about it. I'm going to be happy.
That's right.
To be getting up.
Not only is it talking about something that's not happening, it's speaking for you and it's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, these are big things, aren't they? Because it's what's running almost everybody's life. This conversation in the head and talking to the person about things that are not what the person actually wants. It's not the person's experience. It's not where they want their attention to be.
Right. And it's saying, I don't want to.
Yes. And it doesn't. And, of course, we get to the point of wanting to, well, saying to it, although it doesn't necessarily produce anything, but good. Don't. Don't. Go live somewhere else.
Yeah.
Although I guess we don't really want to wish that on another human being. But
yeah, right. But it's not. It has no body. It's
Mm-mm.
not actually a human.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
It's
saying what we were talking about last night in group, you know, I don't want to get up. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, getting up is not an issue for you, ego. It's a human being issue. It's a person issue. It's something with a body issue. Right? So it's completely irrelevant. And once we see it, it's so glaring. But until we do, oh my God, everything we're talking about just sounds like gobbledygook to somebody.
I know, and it's
And it's so important to keep paying attention.
Yes.
Because
yes.
It's going to try to gloss that over, or I'm going to be in a moment of I don't know, where the veil
right.
has dropped and I don't see it the way I saw it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which is, again, a commercial for recording and listening. Right? To
yes.
record it
in
great detail. Everything that you've seen about it. And listen to that regularly. My little newsletter article is coming out soon. And in it, I got this from Ashwini, actually. So if the numbers are wrong, I just want to put it out there. Who we blame? Okay, it'd be her. But it says, I think it's 21 days to form a habit.
Yeah.
And then 96 days to change a lifestyle.
Wow.
So, yeah. So when we talk about everything in terms of 30 days, there we go. So to listen to that recording for 30 days, to make sure you listen to it every day for 30 days and confirm your experience of that insight. Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm watching it all day long. It's talking about this stuff I don't even care about. And so 30 days and just see. Just see if it's much easier for you to stay present with where your body is and what you, human being, are doing and want rather than off in that ego conversation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank
All
you
right.
for that.
Well,
All
you
right.
are so welcome. Thank you.
See you soon. Thank you. I'm going happy.
You're going happy. All right. Good. Thanks,
Thank
Margaret.
You.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Margaret. Sherry, I'm going to bring on another caller and mute myself since I happen to have a lot of background noise going on where I am. So here we go.
Me
Next
too.
Caller.
Me
so
too.
Now,
city noises, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. This is Bev calling from Kentucky.
Well, hello, Bev. What are you seeing?
Well, first of all, I'm always happy to be here, being able
always.
To be with you in the Sangha. So, my emphasis for this month on relationships was I want to, especially people, family and friends, people I interact with on a regular basis, when I first see them, I want to really stop and look at them because I find many times I walk in the house and say, my husband and I will speak or my grandkids, but to just stop and look them in the face and let them know that I'm glad to be there with them. So that's been my focus for this month. And I do that pretty much out in the world, but when you're interacting with a clerk at the store, that's just kind of fleeting. You know, it's not, and I find it's a lot harder and to do it with people that you see all the time, you know, to keep that connection. But what I've been, what has happened as a result of that, of course, I'm looking at lots of things more carefully. And then it kind of morphs. One day last week, I think it was Ashwini that said, when you judge, you are not able to love. You know, you lose that connection for that time. And so I found, like, one day I picked up my granddaughter, and she got in the car, and immediately my mind went to a judgment. And it dropped in, like, no, I don't want to lose my connection with her. I want to stay connected to her. And then, of course, that goes into – well, I want to stay connected to myself. So when I'm walking down the street or driving down the road and I have those judgments, I'm going to lose my connection with God. I'm going to lose my connection with that part of me that's real.
That's it.
And then
it keeps
growing. Like yesterday on the show, I think it was yesterday, a girl was addressing this, and she said she chose to say, look at them and think, well, what is there to love? So it's like it starts out as a minor little thing of just looking at people, and then it keeps growing and morphing, and all of a sudden you're looking at somebody and thinking, I love this person. There's so much to love about them. I don't want to lose my connection. And that all started with me just taking the time to say, I'm just going to look at them and make connect yes. with them. So
that's so right.
It's been a lot of fun doing this.
Oh, and it's so important because it's a clerk in the store. Who knows, right? You may see them again. You may never see them again. But what conditioning does with our loved ones is put them into our story about them so that over time, we are simply interacting with egocentric karmic conditioning in a story about that person, and we stop seeing them at all. We don't need to find out how they are or explore what's going on with them now because we know. Why do that? Why would you want to do that? And yet we know for ourselves that we're changing second by second by second. And it would be offensive, I project, to most of us if people treated us as if we haven't changed in the last 5 years or 10 years or whatever it is.
Yes, and it's just so tender when, you know, I yeah. just looked at my granddaughter and thought, and then you bring in that, well, what is there to love about her? Well, there is a million more things to love about her than any judgment I can make about what she's not doing. And I see that everywhere. So it's just so yeah. neat how one thing builds on another.
It really is. Practice works because that's what you're doing. You're practicing that insight, that behavior change. And you can see the transformation that comes as a result of it.
And I see it in me, and then everyone else seems to relax a little bit more with
yes.
me when I
of
am
course.
Like that. So, yeah.
Of course, because you're actually with them.
Yes.
Yes.
And they feel the love.
And yes. they feel the love. Of course they do. Yeah. Oh, that's
and
so
I
big.
Haven't found anyone yet that I've looked at and asked that question. It's like, I don't want to lose this connection. What is there to love about them? Well, there's a bunch of, I mean, I've not run across one person yet that
that's
I
right.
haven't, the love hasn't far outweighed anything that conditioning tells me.
Yes.
So,
I don't know if you know this, but Mahatma Gandhi said, one of his most famous quotes, if you can't see God in the next
yes.
human being you encounter, mm-hmm. look no further.
Yeah, but you know, I'm so thankful for my practice. I'm thankful when I call in each day and I get all these other little gems. Or what do they say? Like the little bead to add to the little crystal.
Uh-huh.
And I'm so thankful.
So much fun.
And I just yes, and I just think, what is ahead? What am I going to learn or as I keep going?
I can't wait. Instead of living in ego's dread. Oh God. What's going to go wrong next? To live in the enthusiasm and excitement of, whoa, if it's this good now and it's gotten this much better, wow, what?
No, it's great,
possible?
Great motivation to stay on the path. So,
stay
so
on
Gosho,
love.
And thank you for taking my call, and just thank you so much, Gosho.
Always a pleasure, Bev.
Okay, thanks.
Gosho,
bye-bye.
Go happy.
Thanks, Bev.
She is going to go happy, you know.
I know.
These
I
people
know.
Are going happy. Isn't that just one of
yes.
the happiest things in your whole life? Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes. And it's that thing is what you practice is what you have. If
yes.
you're looking through the eyes of appreciation, how can you see anything other than
yes.
than something to appreciate? We don't get
yes.
that until we actually have that experience that Bev was talking about.
Yeah.
The reason we find it is because we're looking through a lens that is looking to find it. I think you say it, right, often, Sherry, that a person who's a perfectionist is always only looking at imperfection. And that's
yeah.
what we fall for as the conditioning, right?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
I'm a perfectionist, but then my focus is entirely on what is not perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than
and so,
I'm an appreciative, whatever, however, whatever that is.
Right. Well, yes, I'm a person, I'm a perfectionist. I love perfection. I see it everywhere.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Liesl from New Hampshire.
Well, hello, Liesl.
Hello.
What do you see?
It's wonderful to be here this morning.
Yeah, it's great to hear your voice. What's going on?
So what I've been looking at in terms of relationship is my relationship with my physical body. And through the lens of this sort of unconscious behavior that I've sort of been looking at for a while, but not in any specific way. So it's this unconscious behavior I have of like chewing on the inside of my lip. And I've had this sort of wisdom drop in that this is like, it's very much attached to the process of being identified. And so it's really been interesting to look at that as sort of a microcosm for a much bigger application of it.
Well, that's I just want to underline that for a second. So if I'm following you, that what you're saying is when that behavior happens, your attention is on conditioning.
Yes.
Yes. Because if you were present, you wouldn't be doing that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I've been noticing how frequently, just this morning, I guided this beautiful yoga class, and then directly afterwards, I catch myself doing that. And it's a way that I get brought right out of this like beautiful experience that I just had of being really present with this beautiful group of people. So it's been really interesting to look at the conditioning around that, which is this sort of sense of you need to be doing something, fixing, controlling in order to be okay.
Mm-hmm. And since there was nothing in your surroundings that needed to be fixed or controlled.
Right.
The chewing on the lip.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so my behavior changes every time I notice myself doing that or thinking about doing it or anything. I just bring my attention immediately to the breath, and I take 3 slow breaths, and I just focus on loving being in this body in this moment just as it is.
Uh-huh. I would add one thing, Liesl, and that is thank you.
You know, the gratitude.
Oh, thank you. Because you just got brought into conscious awareness, right?
I see what you're saying. Thank you. Thank you for doing or for this behavior almost.
Yeah, well, it's realizing that you're being brought into awareness of it.
Mm.
That's what we were just talking about with Bev. You know,
right.
The support that we begin to feel that now you've said you want to do this, you want to bring conscious awareness to this, and there's that growing sense of, wow, I'm really being watched out for here, because every time I do that, I get a reminder that I'm doing it. Oh, thank you, and then you turn your attention to the breath and do the 3 breaths and that sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's been a really beautiful practice.
Yes. Well, it takes such good care of her.
Yes, absolutely. And it's so interesting to watch how going to that other place where I'm sort of like, I start to chew on my lip, there's tension in the body, and there's, again, this story from conditioning that being in that place, right, I'm ready, I'm prepared or somehow, right, like if something – whatever's going to happen, I'm ready for it. And just to start to really see how clearly false that is.
Yeah, because it's a true statement on ego's part. Whatever goes on with you, ego is now ready. It's in control, right? It's got your attention.
Right.
And you're no longer with her. You're no longer in the moment. It's ready. It can.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's been fun, and I think like from this year-long retreat, what I'm getting more than I've ever, especially obviously every month we're doing this, more and more every time is what it really feels like to stay with her, and not abandon her, and to really start to really understand that in a way I've been practicing for a good few years, but never got that to that level, and that's what a blessing.
Yes. What a reward, right? For our stick-to-itiveness and commitment and that sort of thing. So, all right.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. Absolutely. Great to talk to you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Lisa. I just love that, Sherry, that the part that loves training in me just so responds to that, that we are actually transforming ourselves thought by thought, behavior by behavior, and paying such close attention.
Yes. And it's having so much support. Having so much support from the, you know, we use all those, you know, that which you're seeking is causing you to seek, or, you know, the love that you are is calling you home. All those kinds of, and this is a real tangible experience of that. I have support. All I have to do is ask for it, ask and it'll be given to you. And here it is. And
all right.
As with the point that you're making, that our real thank you is doing the training, saying yes to the to the opportunity.
And that our practice has allowed us to get to this level of nuance. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. It's Colin in Kent here.
Hello, Colin.
Hello. So I was looking at my relationship with food and eating this month, and it seemed to come down really more to be about my relationship with my body as much as the food, and that there's some sort of judgment of the body there, that it should be this way or that, and it's going to be fixed or corrected through eating. So what I'm practicing with is sort of loving and appreciating the body exactly as it is now. And it's, it's something I've heard you talk about before, but it's I think I've always just fallen to judgment, that it's, I can fix it, it's all going to be all right, and not actually taking the time to just be present to the body as it is, and really
and
appreciate
out,
it.
Right, appreciate it, get to know it, find out what it needs.
That's right, yeah, what the body needs, and trying to sort of listen to that, and not what ego says it needs, or what ego needs, trying to find that out,
I've watched that so much over the years with people, and people who have been around for a while know this is one of my favorite rants, and it is a true story. That we've actually had people at the monastery for extended periods of time who were deeply convinced that they could solve all of their problems through eating seaweed.
Right.
And it's just it's an extreme version of what a lot of people struggle with, and what you're pointing at. So I'm not going to look at all of the mental, emotional, spiritual issues that are behind what goes on with me with the body and food. I'm just going to treat the body probably the way I was treated as a child, by being disciplined and controlled enough that it will be the way I want it to be, and then I'll be happy.
Yes, and that's exactly that. I suppose I used to be very, very good at that. I'd read a book and find out all that I should be growing alfalfa sprouts or whatever it is, and be really. This is the answer. This is going to fix.
Then I'll be happy.
And that's always the way I've approached it. And it maybe worked for a couple of weeks or so, and then of course it all unravels. But really seeing that, and then on the other side of that there's a duality there. There's the discipline and the control, and then it swings back the other way to completely losing control and, you know, overeating and binging, and there's that side to it as well.
Well, and Colin, the thing that you just said, I think is essential, which is it works for a couple of weeks. And what really is working is your enthusiasm. You've been allowed to be hopeful about something, to feel good about something. And that takes us out from under that ego oppression. So we feel good right up until ego says, no, that's not working. And of course, it has nothing to do with the alfalfa sprouts, but it has everything to do with being jerked back and forth between, you know, here's the carrot, literally. You know, do this. This will make you feel good. Go ahead. You can do that. You can be enthusiastic about it. No, you can't. Okay, well, here's this other thing. You can be enthusiastic. No, you can't. And when we realize that that enthusiasm is ours and that we don't need to let it be taken away from us, then you can apply that enthusiasm to what you're doing right now, right, which is getting to know the body, getting to respect the body and appreciate it and find out what it needs and what it wants and how it feels good.
Yeah, so it's that enthusiasm, and I'm seeing that sort of elsewhere in my life, but getting very enthusiastic about something, and there's lots of energy, and then it all sort of fizzles out, and then, oh no.
It's drained out of you, Colin. Ego drained out of you.
Yeah, and then I'm just waiting for the next thing, and
exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you don't have to do that, right? Because it is your life. It is your life.
Yeah.
It is your body. It is your enthusiasm, and you get to have all of that.
Yes, it's to keep the enthusiasm then, but not to give it away, isn't it?
That's right.
I think perhaps that's something to practice with.
Because, you know, it can be as simple as wild enthusiasm for loving him unconditionally.
Right. Yeah.
Wild enthusiasm for giving him the life that his heart has always dreamed of. And not let anything take that away from him.
Right. So it's good to be enthusiastic. And to choose that. So it just feels there's a lot of things that I've been simmering away in the background that I wasn't really prepared to look at, and you know it's looking at that now. Now I am.
Now you are.
Well,
how transformation works.
thank you, thanks, bye-bye.
Thanks, Colin. And that is so true, right, Cherry, that cycle, that with practice we begin to be able to step further and further back, and the further back we step, the more we can look at the patterns of energy management that ego that the ego system is about, right? So we're allowed to have that enthusiasm in order for the energy to be formed at a later date for us to feel bad. And we so feel like it's the thing that gives us the enthusiasm rather than the fact that we have enthusiasm, which is why we feel so alive.
And that's been the theme of every call this morning, right? That there's being present and being in the love and how wonderful that feels, and then what happens next, where ego directs the attention to something that's going to suck out all of that energy, right? And so what we're doing with practice is again ceasing to look through conditioned mind, stepping back enough that we can watch it. And as you say, recognize the patterns of energy management that ego has us hooked with.
Yes, and I think we were looking at it yesterday. We are practitioners of process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To get a process orientation to life is to be in awareness all the time, because we see mm-hmm. how it works, not what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right. Friday, so our assignment for today is do your practice, cultivate an attitude that encourages and supports the practitioner. Throughout the day, each time you hear a negative message, turn attention to encouragement. Pick up the recorder to offer an encouraging message to the practitioner.
All right. Well, thank you. All thank right. you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
And so have happy. A great weekend. Go happy.
Great weekend. Okay. Gotcha.
Gotcha.